long-term deal. Sometimes some of the children or the kids, they'll rebel back when they get a certain age. They won't go to church or something. So one of mine has done, I know at least. But, you know, you sit him down and start talking to him, he remembers. You know, you can't take a touch from God and not, and then just throw it away. It just ain't going to happen. But what we're hunting is God in His glory. You can't turn away from that touch. Not an argument, a doctrine, it's an experience. That's what we're all really looking for. Like 2 Timothy 1:12, which Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Sometimes we lose people out the front doors or the back doors, and why? And we ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing wrong? It's not us. They're coming there for an encounter for the unforgettable majesty, the power of the Almighty God. And that's what we're all looking for. Not just the people that attend church, but even the others. We're looking for an encounter with God. And we know that what we studied and heard of this omnipresence of God being everywhere all the time. And that's a true fact. And we can see scriptures in the Bible that support that. However, omnipresence of God sort of refers to the fact that He is everywhere all the time. And I saw some interesting things in this book and thought was sort of cool, that God is the particle in the atomic nucleus that nuclear physicists can't see, can only track. Okay? Thought that was weird. And the Gospel of John touches on that. Without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Okay? God is everywhere and everything. He's the composite of everything, both the glue that holds the pieces of the universe together and the pieces themselves. I thought that was really cool. A dual purpose, I guess. This sort of explains why people can't sit on in a bar sometimes and get a revelation of God, even outside of the church. And not just necessarily there, but anywhere. They just get all of a sudden, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, talks to them. Okay, a lot of us, and I'll include myself, the first revelation I got of God was not in the church. Most of it's somewhere else. Okay, it was in school, going down the road, or wherever.
In jail.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. A lot of revelation, but a lot of times it's not in the church. The church is where you're supposed to go once you're seeking it. And that's what got me. You know, my two drinking buddies disappeared. Okay. I come off leave and they're gone. You know, so what happened to them? I wanted to find out. And that's why I'm here. And still here, I guess. Now, if God can do that in a jail or a house or a road, we shouldn't be surprised that He can touch any of us at any time, anywhere. They illustrate the effects of the omnipresence of God, the quality of His presence being everywhere, all the time. Okay? But the manifested presence of God is a little different. The God we know is everywhere and all the time, but He concentrates the very essence of His being into what many call the manifest presence of God. When this happens, there's wrong sense and awareness that God Himself is there. I mean, we've all seen that. We've been in meetings and churches. Sometimes you just walk in. I mean, Heritage, sometimes I can just walk in the door, which I visit very, very seldomly, but you can just feel the presence.
Amen.
His presence. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we walk in our sanctuary. Okay, God is here today. You know, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The awareness that God Himself has entered the room. You might say that although He is indeed everywhere all the time, there are also specific periods of time when He's here more than He's there.
A time of visitation.
Huh?
A time of visitation.
That's good, Nick. That's
good. That's a good word. The divine reason God chooses to concentrate on or reveal Himself more strongly in one place than another, or more at one time than the other, this concept is just might mess up your theology a little, okay? But we've all seen it at one time or another in our lives, and with different people. I've seen just sitting there witnessing to a drug head, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will speak and say,
Amen.
Say this to her, say that to her,
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we're gonna. And you say,
Amen.
What?
Amen.
This don't work, this don't sound right to me, okay? This is not the way I was taught. But nevertheless, it works.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it does.
It's very
effective. Because it's come from the Holy Ghost.
It's very effective. Mm-hmm. I've seen let's pray the prayer of salvation. Oh, okay, you know. And so you know, at least they got their ticket punch at that point. And we go on to something else. But, that's true. We didn't say if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm sure all of us are familiar with. What other level of Him are we seeking? You know, His face. And that concept was sort of a little strange to me, but goes away from the teaching I've had. But it's because His favor flows wherever His face is directed.
That's good. Say it again.
Yeah, I thought that was something strange. His favor, God's favor, is focused or flows. You might want to say, wherever His face is directed.
And it's directed towards faith.
Right.
Mm.
You can be God's child and still not have His faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
That's the reason why we've got to stay in the face of God.
Right.
Amen.
God told His people for all generations if they would seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, then He would hear them and heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong promise.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, man. Yeah. You know, verse just keeps coming around about every other day. I'm hearing from somebody. Even saw it on the movie the other night.
How can we be God's people and have wicked ways?
Yep.
Perhaps our wicked ways explain why we have been content just to be in God's vicinity instead of gazing upon His face.
That's powerful.
That was a little bit of, let's put a thinking cap
repeat
on.
Repeat that again.
Why we have been content sometimes, and I know I have, just by being in God's vicinity instead of gazing upon His face.
That's good.
An intimate relationship is what we're headed.
Mm-hmm. In other words, God's always there. He's transmitting all the time.
Well, see, God is always present, but we're not always in His presence.
Right.
That's what He just said.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not God that's holding back.
He's there.
He's there.
Just how much God do you really want?
Yeah.
How close to God do you really want to be?
How much do you esteem God compared to the things of the world?
Well, I like what Jesse DePlantis said on Kenneth Copeland the other day. He said, whenever you don't take and do what you're talking about right now, okay, you'll be on cruise control with your faith, and eventually you're going to run out of gas, and when something hits you, because you're not in the face of God, you're not going from faith to faith to faith, when something hits you, you're going to go for a reserve faith and ain't going to be there.
Right.
Because you've been on cruise control for too long.
Yeah. But we must continually repent. And, I use that as an every morning thing I do, to reach for His face and to pray, God, look at us as we look at You.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what she's saying there. As a guided by the eye of God, I thought this was another little concept that was good as well. Too often, we, God's people, are guided only by the written word, okay, or the prophetic word. And that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, we have a Bible that teaches us that. But He wants us to move beyond that to a place marked by a greater degree of tenderness of heart toward Him, and by a deeper maturity that allows us and it guides us with His eye. Okay, let me read this one scripture right here, and we'll cut it off. In Psalm 32:8-9, it talks about the eye of God. Mm-hmm. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go.
Uh-huh.
I will guide thee with my eye.
Mm-hmm.
So He's actually showing. So be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding. Whose mouths must be held and would be unbridled, lest they come nearer to them. But learn to watch and see where the eye of God is leading us to. And I'll stop there.
Okay.
Pray for the food. Bless the food. David, please.
Father, we thank You for this food this day. We thank You for your service.